Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
As I've been discussing so much with regard to what happens in your house being more important, what happens in the White House is spin off of all politics is local. And it's not that you want your federal elected officials in the House or the Senate to come back with bags of money so that they can buy your votes. That's not what all politics being local means. What it means is your lives are affected by what happens in your neighborhoods, in your communities, in your city, in your county, and in your state, much more so than the federal government affects your life. That's how our founders designed it. And there is no more intimate reflection of that than in your school board. It's the most intimate election that you will participate in outside of a homeowners association. It's the most direct in terms of you having a say in what goes on, or supposedly have a say in what goes on in those schools. And it affects you in ways that other aspects of the government don't affect you at all on a personal level, because it's your children who are affected by it. And if you don't have kids in the government-run schools, your community is affected by the kids who are churned out by those government-run schools. So either way, it's going to affect you and it affects your neighborhood. And that's why we've been focusing so much on the schools, especially during the pandemic. And lately, it's been almost entirely about Loudoun County public schools. And I've been saying, if you are a teacher and you don't agree, please speak out. And I'm very proud to say that we have on the line right now a social studies teacher in Loudoun County Public Schools who did just that, Monica Gill. She wrote a great op-ed over at thefederalist.com, and she joins us now. Thank you so much for joining us, Teacher Gill.
Hi, Larry. First, I just want to thank you so much for having me on your show and for continuing to highlight this issue on your program, because it does really need to be out there for people to see what's going on and get their heads wrapped around it, because it's a pretty deep and important issue for us to be coming, you know, taking head on.
Yeah, no, I listen, all the thanks comes in this direction. I thank you for having the courage, because it does take courage to speak out. First, I want to talk about that part in a moment, about why you need to be brave to be able to do what you did. But reflect a little bit here on what you wrote and what you revealed in terms of what your curriculum is looking like right now in Loudoun County Public Schools and what you feel you're being compelled to teach.
Well, as of now, I can say we have not specifically been instructed to teach critical race theory in our classrooms.
Okay.
However, even though Loudoun County Public Schools hasn't explicitly adopted critical race theory as a framework, our training in the equity meetings is really laden with the rhetoric of critical race theory. And, you know, my question that I pose is, well, what is training for but to be implemented in our day-to-day teaching?
Right.
So the implicit expectation of our equity training has undoubtedly been to establish this trickle-down infiltration of critical race theory. And the goal, of course, is target the teachers first with the aim of filtering an equity mindset into the classrooms. And, of course, the evidence continues to pile up as parents and students come forward with very clear examples of children being engaged in lessons based on critical race theory ideology.
And can you give me some of the examples of what during your equity training, and this is, you're compelled to take these trainings, right? This is not an opt-out situation.
Yeah.
If you want to get your paycheck, you need to show up at these things. So give me some examples of some of the things that you that sort of, you know, pushed a button for you.
So I think the thing that really pushed the button for me was that our first equity training, which was back in August of 2019, where we had to watch this video called The Unequal Opportunity Race. And that video really was so full of its own biases. It portrayed two sets of runners. One set were white runners, the other set were black runners. And the black runners, when the gun goes off, they are, you know, forced to stand behind this, you know, barrier. And the white runners just continue to run the race and run circles around them. And they get past this wealth baton that continues to grow. They don't have any obstacles. And when the black runners start to run, they face all of these obstacles. One falls down and the other reaches back to help them up. And You know, then we see these words like white privilege come across the screen for the white runner who just continues to run with no obstacles and gets to the finish line. And, you know, sitting in that, I could feel the discomfort in the room from my colleagues who I know were not agreeing with this. And I certainly was not agreeing with it either, because it really was portraying this image of white America as having no concern for the problems faced by our black brothers and sisters, because the white runner just paid no attention to the fact that the black runner fell down, but his fellow black runner helped him up. And that's just not a true and accurate depiction of America or white America. It completely ignores the fact that white Americans pushed the abolition movement against slavery. We fought the Civil War to end slavery. Whites marched with Dr. Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. Some of them died in the Civil Rights Movement. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's just not an accurate picture. And many of my colleagues, you know, would come and we'd talk about it afterwards. And of course, it's all in very hushed places, you know, just kind of unwilling to talk about it out in the open. And, you know, they're talking about it quietly because they feel like, well, if I say anything, I'm going to be labeled a racist or my job might be in jeopardy. And they all, you know, said, like, this is really awful. This is painting a terrible picture of us. And, you know, as I said in my article, one woman was literally in tears after this because that video basically ignored her plight as a single white mom who raised four kids who had to be on welfare and social assistance and free lunch. And she was like, that's not white privilege, you know, and myself too. I mean, I haven't experienced quote unquote white privilege to the degree that they are talking about. I worked my way through college to get my degrees. I come from a blue collar background. My dad has a high school or doesn't have a high school education. So, you know, but the values were instilled in me to work hard, and that's what I did. And so I worked hard to get where I am. I didn't get where I am because, you know, I got a pass, you know, and special treatment.
But see, the problem is that, but the point is, this thing makes an assumption. This training makes an assumption about you solely based on the color of your skin. Right. White people are like this because of X, Y, and Z. The facts don't matter. Who you are as a human being doesn't matter. Purely the color of your skin. I would argue that Barack Obama had more privilege in his upbringing and wealth in his upbringing than you did. Right. You know, Deborah, can you stay with us, please? Or Monica, excuse me. Can you stay with us? I've got more to talk to you about. Oh, great. Oh, good. All right. Sure, we're going to continue. Absolutely. This is too important. And she's there on the front lines and she's putting herself out there. You know, yes, everyone talked in whispered tones. Well, she's not whispering. She's letting you hear her voice. And so it demands respect. We'll continue with Monica Gill in just a moment, teacher in Loudoun County.
The stories that have been breaking while you've been at work. This is the Larry O'Connor Show.
It is, and we continue an ongoing conversation about Loudoun County Public Schools. And listen, I just want to spell it out here because you know how this goes. You may live in Fairfax County. You may live in Montgomery County, Prince George's County, Frederick County, Prince William County. You may be out in Fauquier County. You could be listening on the internet in South Dakota. You know who I'm talking about. I got a listener in South Dakota. This stuff's going on in your schools right now. I don't care where you are in this country. This is what's going on in your schools, and this is why you need to know about it, and you need to take action. And it takes courageous people like Monica Gill, a social studies teacher in Loudoun County Schools, to speak out and try to make a difference and shed light on this. She wrote about it at thefederalist.com yesterday. She joins us today. And Monica, and again, thank you for that. You know, a lot of times when I have HR trainings at my work, there's often some a feedback time. You know, if you have questions, concerns, if there's a problem, you can fill out a card or you can talk to somebody. Did you feel like you had the opportunity or the invitation to sort of give feedback and say, this really made me uncomfortable and here's why?
So, no, there really wasn't that opportunity, particularly after that first training in August. We got a feedback form, but it really didn't offer an opportunity for critique. And so I went after this training to my direct superiors because I was very concerned about it. many of my colleagues were concerned about it and talking about it. And I was directed to reach out to the equity team. And I did that. I wrote a very extensive letter. I sent it to all the members of the equity team. I sent it to then Superintendent Dr. Williams. And I really got no response from anyone. I also sent emails to everybody on the school board at the time. And, you know, the makeup of the school board has changed since then. But and really, there was just no response. And, you know, the interesting thing is they keep saying that, you know, we're involved in a conversation, but there really hasn't been much of a conversation going on at all.
It's a monologue, not a dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, it's my, I will say we've been having training kind of at two different levels. One level is from the division. And the other is with our school-based leadership at faculty meetings. And my school's leadership actually has been very even-handed when we have done our faculty meetings.
Okay.
And like we did have to read a book by Zaretta Hammond called Culturally Responsive Teaching in the Brain, and we had book discussions about it. And it was very one-sided, but our leadership managed to focus us constantly on the question of how can we best serve students. And I think that did produce thoughtfulness among our teachers. Although I would suggest, like, we were really just looking at one side. We ought to be looking at a wider perspective of ideas and examining works of scholars like Thomas Sowell as well. But that wider, deeper conversation is really not happening at the local level or the district level. And my concern, my larger concern, is really with our training from the district level, where, again, we're told we're engaging in this conversation, but in reality, we're being presented with material that is based in critical race theory, and the assumption is that you have to accept and agree with that narrative. We're being trained on implicit bias and white privilege, dominant white culture, microaggressions, systemic racism, and all of these are presented and expressed as realities. And my colleagues who disagree with what is presented, as I said before, they're compelled to remain silent. They, if they speak up, they believe that they're going to be labeled a racist. They're afraid they're putting their jobs in jeopardy. I have many colleagues who are really disturbed by what's happening. And that disturbance is not based on white fragility, as critical race theory professor Robin DiAngelo would suggest. We're disturbed because these things are not realities. They're ideologies.
Right.
And
it sounds like there's an ideological and political litmus test that's being laid out. If it's not explicit, it's certainly implicit. If you want to work here and if you want to be a teacher in Loudoun County Public Schools, you got to toe the line on this ideology. I'm sadly almost out of time here, Monica Gill, but I'm hoping this isn't our last conversation on this. But I think I'd, again, because what I like to do whenever possible is to give some sort of direction for people. I don't want people to just hear this and feel despair or anger or whatever. I want them to be able to do something. Mm-hmm. What would you say to parents right now whose children are in Loudoun County Public Schools and sadly they have to add this to the list of things they're concerned about in raising their child?
So I would say, you know, that they should get involved. They need to be very involved in their local politics. They need to pay attention to what's happening at the school board. They should go to school board meetings and speak in the public comment section. They should write to their school board members. They can go or sit in on the equity committee meetings. They can do public comment there as well. And I know that you had Ian Pryor on before, and he is working with his organization to collect signatures to try and recall school board members. And so really the only way that this changes is if we as a community decide that this is not our value, critical race theory is not our value. My whole point in this is that I want to get us back to really being on point. I'm a Christian like Dr. King before me. I believe the foundation of a healthy community and strong education is just like he said, we focus on content of character, not color of skin.
Amen.
And so we need to get back to that. You know, Dr. King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So likewise, you know, contrary to critical race theory proponent Ibram Kendi's thesis, racism cannot drive out racism. Only recognizing each individual as valuable and a unique creation of God who bears his image is going to do that. And so we really need to get back to the basics of it's our kids' character that matters. This is what we're nurturing. We need to, you know, what's more important than nurturing great character and good citizens? And that's just not what critical race theory is doing, and it's not what it's based on. I mean, you look
Monica,
at our community. It is
Monica Gill, I want to give you a hug or a COVID-19 fist bump for all of this. Have you ever listened to the show? This is always a dangerous question to ask. Have you listened to the show before?
So your producer told me not to tell you that you actually are my commute home every day.
Oh, thank God. No, because usually I ask that question and they'll say, well, I turn it off after Chris Plant.
Yes.
So Monica, then you probably know.
No.
I'm going to put you on the spot then. Then you probably know where I'm going to go then. Because one thing I've noticed in studying the school boards around this area, and it's not just exclusive to this area, is that there is a dearth of professional educators who have actually spent time in the classroom on these school boards. Would you run for school board in Loudoun County so that a teacher could actually give some real world experience? Because your voice would be fantastic in that body.
I really appreciate that. It's very humbling to hear. But I will say, as I say to most people, I'm not sure I'm built for politics. I'm not a policy wonk. I'm not an administrative person. I'm much more
good.
I'm much more of a lover, you know. Like that's my number one job with my students is to love them. That
all right. Well, you know what? I don't want to take you out of the classroom, and I don't know. I was hoping you could do both, but you're right. You belong in a classroom. You belong teaching children. You're right where God put you. Monica Gill, great meeting you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being part of our conversation
today.
It was
great talking to you, Mary.
Thank you.
Absolutely.